3. Very familiar scripture to anyone that's been in church for a while. We read this and we quote it a lot of times. Exodus 33, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't there, say hold on, preacher. Exodus 33, look at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and that thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we got someone to call on, Lord. Thank you, God, for each and every one that's come this way this morning, Lord, and help us right now, God. Lord, as we get into your word, God, I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts, God. I pray for every Christian in this building, God, to just assure themselves, God, that your presence is with them. God, and I pray for anyone that might be lost, God. Help them to realize, God, they can have your presence with them. And Lord, whatever's done, help us to lift up Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How can we know we're being led by the presence of the Lord? Every Christian ought to have a desire to be led by the presence of the Lord. Amen. How can you know? Number one of the reasons you can know you're being led by the presence of the Lord, you have a desire to come to church. That ought to be a desire. When you get up on Sunday morning, there ought not be no question in your house what's going to happen that day. We are going to church. You ought to have a desire to read your Bible. You ought to have a desire to pray. I want God's presence with me every day of my life. I can tell, I'm just going to be honest with you, I can tell when the presence of God, Tony, is with me, and I can tell when he's not.
Amen.
Amen. You can tell your day goes better when you got the presence of God with you. Amen. I remember telling this many times over the years when I was back when we still had cassette players. Amen. I had a cassette of 1 Corinthians, Clint. And when I would get in my truck, I'd put that cassette in that truck, and I'd listen to the Bible. And it seemed like every time I did that and listened to the Bible, my day went a whole lot better.
Amen.
I want God's presence with me. Now, looking at this scripture, I want you to notice just a few things about this. Number one, there was a call. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read this. I'm trying to read real quick. We all know the story. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jericho, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to a mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standeth is holy ground. Over, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry unto their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I also have seen the oppression which wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You understand that if you're here this morning, you've either had a call or you're going to have a call for salvation. See, being lost is almost like living on the backside of the desert, Brother Jerry. Sometimes you're out there and you feel all alone. Sometimes you're out there and feel like you don't have nobody to talk to. Sometimes you're out there and it seems like, you know, everything's going pretty good, but then all of a sudden God shows up. Amen. How many remember when you got saved? How many remember when God called you? I'm going to be honest with you. It was almost like God brought me from the backside of the desert. Amen. There was a call on my life, and there's going to be a call on your life. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know when you got saved. You know when God come into your heart. You know when your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I understand, if you're not saved, then you don't have the presence of God in your life. Yeah, I hear this all the time. Well, I pray all the time. I just feel like the Lord's so near. Not if you ain't saved, he ain't. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but let me go ahead and tell you something. You're either saved or lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There ain't no in between, and I don't care what the Pope says, there ain't no purgatory. Amen. And you either got the presence of God in your life or you don't have the presence of God in your life. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about coming down to an altar and getting a fuzzy feeling and putting your name on the church roll. That's not what I'm talking about. Salvation is of God. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, verse 44, no man comes to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You ain't going to get saved when you want to. This is not something that you can say, I'm going to put on my date book on the 15th. I'm going to go down an altar. No, it don't work that way. You come to God's house. The presence of God starts dealing with you. The Holy Spirit starts dealing with you. It gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. And you get under conviction. And you come down to an altar. And as the presence of God is dealing with you, you ask God to forgive you of your sins. And you get gloriously saved right then. I've heard about people, Brother David said, I believe Brother David said he got saved in his truck, amen. I've heard people talking about getting saved in the woods. It don't matter, but I'm just telling you, there will be a call on your life. And God is trying to get your attention. There's got to be a response to the call. Now you think about this. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says this. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Not worthy. That's what Moses was saying right now. I'm not worthy of this call. Amen. You understand something? When I got saved, Brother David mentioned this morning, there was not a time in my life that I did not believe that Bible. There's not a time in my life that I did not believe that Jesus Christ was exactly who he said he was. There's not a time in my life that I did not believe that God the Father sat on the throne. But there was a time in my life that I was not living for him. There was a time in my life that I was going through the motions. Understand, I'd go to church every once in a while. I was out doing things I had no business doing. I was out going places I had no business going. And you understand, when I went to church that day, and the only reason I went to church that day was to be with my wife. We were dating, and I wanted to be with her. And she said, if you want to be with me on Sunday, you got to come to church. I come to church, and God showed up. I was not expecting God to show up. I did not go there looking for God to show up, but God showed up, and God put out a call on my life. I'm thinking, I'm not worthy of what he did for me. To have the Son of God. I knew, Brother Tony, I knew who Jesus was. to get it in my mind that the Son of God loved me enough that he would come down and live in this cruel world and love me enough that he lived a sinless life and love me enough that he carried that cross all the way up to Calvary's hill and love me enough that not only did he do that, they beat him and spit on him, and he loved me enough that he gave up the ghost, and he loved me enough that he, on the third day he rose, and he loved me enough that he's seated beside the right hand of the Father right now. I'm not worthy of that. Amen. But glory to God, I'm glad he did. Amen. Moses says, I'm not worthy. David mentioned this in Sunday school. He was talking about one of the guys talking about salvation. They talked about how that, you know, the qualifications for heaven is perfection. Amen. That's the qualifications for heaven. So how in the world can we go? Because we're serving a perfect Savior. And the Lord laid this on my heart in Sunday school this morning. I mentioned this to the Sunday school class. The Bible says that the way to heaven is straight and narrow. In other words, you got to understand something. I believe this is kind of how it operates, Benji. Jesus was perfect, so I don't have to be. I just got to follow him, amen? And if I line up behind Jesus, and if it's a straight and narrow way, every time God the Father looks at Jesus, he don't see Jesus. Because I'm standing behind him. I'm in line with Jesus. All he sees is Jesus. I don't have to be perfect, but I serve a perfect one. He goes on, he says, I'm not even qualified for this. Verse 10 in Exodus chapter 4, and Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since that has thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Understand something. God's going to want you to do something when you get saved. Well, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to be a deacon. I'm not qualified to be a preacher. Ain't none of us. Amen? Ain't none of us. Well, I just don't feel like I'm qualified. God took Moses. And Moses was as big a train wreck as any of us. Amen? Moses was basically said, I can't talk. I can't do this. If you go back and study, he come up with every excuse in the book. And God used him anyhow. If you let him, God will use you. If you let him, God will work in your life. God took Moses and all his mess and made a great leader out of him. I'm going to pick on Brother Chucky a little bit. When we first moved up here, Chucky was real young. Chucky would come in the bank and pick on my wife. And I mean, I didn't know Chucky real good. I'd met him a few times over at High Point and didn't know Chucky real good. But my wife would come in, she said, that Chucky River's crazy. She said, that Joe, he'd come in the bank, open up the front door, say, Miss Jo-Wan. And in my mind, I'm just saying, that man's crazy. And God took Chucky and all his cutting up and Chucky, I love your personality, brother. I love you. And look what God's doing in his life. Amen. God can use you, but you got to let him. Moses finally broke down, and Moses, he finally give in. And understand something. When you give in and you get saved and you're in God's army, the Bible says God knows you by name. Notice what the Bible said in Exodus 33, verse 12 and 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, bring up this people that thou hast not let me know, whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation that is thy people. God said, Moses said, Lord, you said you know me by name. I remember preaching one time, the government knows you by a number, but the God of glory knows you by name. Amen. The government don't care nothing about you, but the God of glory, God, he knows every hair on your head. The government don't really want to hear from you, but the God of glory says, hey, just come boldly to the throne of grace. Bow down before me. God cares about what you care about. God knows you. God knows everything about you and still loves you.
Amen.
The problem is God already knows you. The thing is, you need to get to know him. See, that's where we get into this. Brother Ralph, his presence goes with us. God knew Clint a long time before Clint got saved. And when Clint got saved, God still knew him. God, but Clint needed to know God. See, that's when we get his presence going with us. We got Christians in this building. You're saved. I believe that with all my heart. You're on your way to heaven, but you don't know God like I'm talking about.
Amen.
You got to understand something, folks. When you know him, and I mean really know him, things start happening in your life. Amen? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, the Bible talks about, and Moses said unto God, behold, I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. You got to get a picture of what I'm talking about. God is speaking to Moses face to face. When's the last time you got that close to God? Have you ever been praying? Have you ever been on your knees and it felt like somebody moved in the room with you? Have you ever been riding down the road? Have you ever been listening to music or praying or listening to a preacher and it felt almost like somebody got in the truck with you? I'm talking about when you know him and you get to know him personally and you get to know him intimately. Hey, things start moving in your life. I'm going to just give you just a few examples of what I'm talking about. I remember one night on the highway patrol, I was going down. I got real sleepy. I've told this at church before. I got real sleepy and I'll never forget it. I was going down the road and I went from a four lane to a two lane road and I'm sitting there. I'm so sleepy. I can't hardly go. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning and I wake up. I'm on the wrong side of the highway. And this was, I said, Brother Robert, this was, I said, Lord, you got to help me.
Yeah.
I was driving a 1987 Crown Victoria with the old pull switch for a light. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Long time ago, lights didn't just automatically come on. But I was going down the road, and all of a sudden, I got so sleepy again, and the headlights went off. I woke up. You know how, y'all know what I'm talking about. I woke up. I reached for that switch, and before I touched it, the lights came back on. I was going down the road. I got sleepy again. I was moving all over the road. I'll never forget it. The headlights on that car went off. I reached for the switch again, Brother Tony, and before I could touch the switch, the headlights came on. It did it one more time, exactly like that. And when the headlights popped on that third time, it was like God said, I've woke you up three times. It's time to wake up.
Amen.
And from that point on, I did not get sleepy again.
Hallelujah.
Why did that happen? I believe that happened because I know him by his name.
Amen.
His name, oh God. His name ain't the man upstairs. His name ain't the granddaddy. His name is God. He is God, and you're not God. He is God. He is Jehovah. We need to respect him as that. Don't be saying nothing about the man upstairs. He ain't no man upstairs. He's the Savior. He's God. He's your Savior. He's your Creator. He's the one that's going to judge us. Amen? You need to know him by name.
Amen.
And when you get to know him by name, things start happening in your life. I don't have time to go through this. I don't have time to go around this room right now. I'm just telling you right now, I could start on this pew and every pew in here. Anybody that's been saved for any amount of time can tell me how God showed up in your life. Now, you got to understand something. When God starts moving in your life, watch out. We start talking about Moses. We understand what God did in Moses' life. We see God Moses operating in Egypt, the 10 plagues, the water to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, livestock, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn. Moses saw all of this because he heeded the call. What are you seeing God do in your life? Has God been moving miraculously in your life? Has God been answering prayers miraculously in your life? Let me go ahead and tell you something. God ain't the one that got to check up. We got to check up. If we want God to move in our lives, we got to have his presence in our lives. And you got to understand something. When all this happens, you will not be by yourself. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. I'm just going ahead and tell you, I can't tell you how many times. I will never forget. I've said this many times before. I was praying in my bedroom one time, and I can't remember what I was praying about, but I will never forget it. It was almost like Satan come in, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, your prayers ain't going no higher than the ceiling. Anybody ever been there? But you know what? There was another voice, Brother Robert, that came in right behind that and said, don't worry about it. If they ain't going no higher than the ceiling, I'm in the room with you, glory to God. I'm everywhere present and nowhere absent. You understand something? His presence. I might feel alone sometimes, but there's never been a time since I accepted Jesus Christ that I was alone. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 tells us that. Understand something. You are not by yourself in this. Man might not stand with you, but I know one that will. I believe Heather or somebody sings that song. When everybody walks out, he walks in. Glory to God. Mike sings the song. Hey, just give me Jesus. He's all I need. Amen. His presence is what you need. His power is what you need in your life. I want you to show you something. I'm going to come to a close. Along the way, you're going to see God move in a miraculous way. I don't have time, Brother Tony. Just nod your head. How many times you've seen God move in your life? Prayers answered. I see a miracle sitting right there. Doctor said that the widowmaker was completely blocked. But guess where she's sitting at this morning? I look around this building and I see prayers answered. I see how God has moved in our lives. When you start thinking about Moses, Moses saw God. Exodus 33, Moses went through the Red Sea. Can y'all get a picture of that? Amen. Moses went through the Red Sea. Water piled up on each side. He might have been there seeing them fish. Greg swam over there right beside him. But he led those children through the Red Sea. Moses struck a rock and water came out. Moses was the leader of a million people. Moses was the one that God used to give the Ten Commandments. Moses talked with God face to face. Over 30 miracles in the Bible are attributed to Moses. Guess who the only one in the Bible that had more miracles attributed to them than Moses was? It was Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. I want you to understand something. I'm not telling you that there's not going to be troubles and trials. All this that we're talking about Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know why Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years? Because he was the leader of a bunch of hard-headed knockers. Amen. Amen. That's the reason. There's going to be troubles and trials. There's going to be wilderness. There's going to be things that happen in our life. But glory to God, when God's presence is with you, God will help you. What happened when the other people, when Pharaoh's army tried to go through the Red Sea? God killed them. I don't know about you, but like the song says, if I got to go through something, I want to go through something with Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of us has got that kind of presence of God in our life? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't have the presence of God in my life like that. Well, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's there for all of us, amen? It's there for everybody. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know right now if something were to happen in your life that you could go to heaven? If the answer is, I don't know, or no, this altar's open. This altar's open. Brother Robert,